Thank you very much for your invitation. It's a delight to be with you tonight. And we do pray the Lord will bless us as we study his word together. We're going to read from 1 Samuel in chapter 13. 1 Samuel in chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Samuel 13 and 13 says, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you.'" And then just over a few chapters to 1 Samuel in chapter 16. 1 Samuel in chapter 16 and verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' But the Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you.' So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.' So he went and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." Amen. Role models. How often have you heard someone saying, "Oh, if I could just aspire to be like," and then they'll maybe mention someone. For some people in our society today, that aspiration is maybe commonly associated with that person's fame, or maybe it's their popularity, or maybe it's their wealth, or their fashion, or their particular lifestyle. Maybe for some other people, that aspiration may be associated with their position. There are some people who want to aspire to be their boss or like their boss. There are some people who would want to aspire to be a successful businessman, or maybe even a political leader like the Prime Minister. And so the list could go on. But surely for us tonight, as Christians, our desire is to shape and to categorize our lives on the supreme example, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were actually just singing about that in our last song. And for our encouragement, we have also recorded in the Bible, we have the lives of many godly men and godly women, where we can see how God has worked in their lives for his glory. And as I've maybe mentioned that, maybe there's some men and women who come to your mind. Maybe you might have thought of Noah, or Joseph, or Moses, or Ruth, or Esther, or the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes when we reflect on men and women of faith, don't we go to that wonderful chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes it's referred to as an illustrious role of honour. It's like a grand portrait of pictures. You can sometimes picture it in your mind, as if you were walking round and looking at their faces and reflecting on their lives. And there we would read of 16 names mentioned, 14 men and 2 women. And one of the names that would be mentioned there would be of David. And again, at the mention of David, there are many things come to our mind. Sometimes when we think of David, we think of his terrific success over the giant Goliath. Or maybe it was his friendship that he had with Jonathan, that loyal friendship and the love that they had one for another. Or maybe it was his rise from being a shepherd boy to ultimately becoming a king. But more importantly tonight, what does God remember David for? You know, when we go to the book of the Acts, and there we would read of the Apostle Paul, and there he's in Antioch addressing the people in the synagogue. And this is what it says in Acts chapter 13. And it says, when he, referring to God, had removed him, Saul, and raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. What an epitaph. Only 20 words. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Not a mention of David the great warrior. Not a mention of David the faithful shepherd. Not a mention of David as the great poet or musician or his reign as king, but as a man after God's own heart. And so for a time tonight, we want to consider briefly this wonderful experience in David's life when God called him, when God chose him. But tonight we want to also spend some time as we consider that, as how we would apply this practically to our lives today. And if I was to consider a little heading for this part, it would be the people's choice and God's choice. The people's choice and God's choice. We read, didn't we, in 1 Samuel 13, and the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And before we consider that, we have to reflect on the events leading up to that just very briefly. If we were to have went back something like 40 years or so, we would have found that after Eli and his wicked sons, that God had chosen a successor in Samuel. And Samuel had ruled. And Samuel had ruled very wisely, and he had judged very wisely. But then as we would come into chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, there we would read how Samuel is now becoming an old man. And he had appointed his sons to be judges. And oh my, what a mistake that was. Because his sons, they pursued dishonest personal gain. They were accepting bribes and they were perverting justice. And we would read in 1 Samuel in chapter 8 and verse 3, but his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned after dishonest gain and took bribes and perverted justice. What a terrible situation. And then we would read that the elders gathered together and they called a meeting with Samuel, really a summit meeting. And as they came, they had one demand. And their demand was this: we want a king. We want a king. Because they were saying, Samuel, you're now an old man. You're not able to lead us anymore. Because, Samuel, your sons do not walk in your ways. And sadly they said, because we really just want to be like the other nations. All the other nations have a king. The Philistines, the Moabites, the Jebusites, they all have kings. And we want a king. Poor Samuel. And he was praying to God about this situation. And don't we know that God always knows best? And yet God gave them what they wanted, although it was not best for them at that time. You know, and sometimes we have to learn those lessons, don't we? It's like the little boy who was one time going on a train journey with his mother. And this little boy, as he looked around the carriage, the train carriage, and there he saw this bee. And he says to his mother, "I want that bee." Now his mother knew that the bee was not what the little boy wanted. But the little boy was so adamant, "I want that bee." Now how his mother did it, I have no idea, but she managed to catch the bee. And she gave it to the little boy. And you can imagine what happened when the little boy got the bee and he grasped it. Yes, he got stung. The mother knew that, but the little boy had to learn a lesson. And here we have the people's choice of Saul. And no doubt they looked at his external appearance. He would be tall, dark, he would be handsome. His initial actions and his life would have been impressive. And they must have been thinking, well, what a grand choice we have made in Saul. But then as time goes on, we see Saul's character changing. And then we start to see the situation that young David grew up in. A rather volatile king ruling. The people becoming increasingly concerned and disillusioned with their leader and the king that they had chosen. And even worse, the people of Israel were drifting from God. What a sad situation. You would probably say, well, what would you expect when you had a king that was walking in that ways? And maybe in passing, we just say tonight, as we look at our society today, as we look at our world today, there are some similarities, isn't there? When we're not walking according